Oh, praise the Lord. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise today. Amen. Such a privilege to be with the McCoys, and he's already explained our connection, and I can't believe it's been 17 years, but time flies whether you're having fun or not. And we have a lot of Texas connections here, the Tuckers and the Campbells. We love y'all so much. And then connections I didn't know I had, the Pates. They went to, we call him Uncle Orville. He's really my dad's first cousin. And he pastored in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and they attended his church back years ago. And I think we even crossed paths somewhere, but it's been long enough where the statute of limitations of my memory has expired. And it's so good to have my wife and Anna with us today. So good to see the McCoys kids. They're just like a part of our family, and so glad to see them. I'm glad Jesus is here. Amen. I'm glad Jesus is here. Can we just exalt him right now? I feel the Lord of this house. Hallelujah. Lord, we give you glory. We give you honor, Jesus. We magnify your name, O Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise your name, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 21, and then we're going to go to chapter 30 as well. 1 Samuel 21 and 7. Now a certain man of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg the Edomite, and the chiefest of the herdsmen that belonged to Saul. And David said to Elimelech, "And is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste." And the priest said, "The sword of Goliath the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it, for there is no other save that here." And David said, "There is none like that. Give it me." And then just a few verses later, a few chapters later, in chapter 30 and verse 6, it says, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man of his own sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." And then one last verse, familiar to us, in Revelations 12 and 11. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." And so this morning, I want to minister to you today on this subject, old triumphs for new troubles. Old triumphs for new troubles. Can we pray together right now? Lord Jesus, I ask you, Lord, to minister in this place. Lord, every heart, every mind, every soul, Lord, that is in this house, everyone that is online, Lord, you see the struggle and the trouble that they are facing in their mind, their heart, their spirit. Lord, I pray that an encouraging word would fall deep into their spirit, Lord, that would make them overcomers and make them triumphant in their situations. In the mighty name of Jesus, I rebuke the enemy, Lord, that would speak doubt and fear and try to paralyze the church. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you would touch us right now with your power and anointing, oh God. Hallelujah. Can we put our hands together for the Lord? Oh, praise the Lord. You may be seated. Old triumphs for new troubles. I don't know about you, but there's some things that have been said over the last 6 months or so that I'm getting so tired of hearing. If I never hear the term new normal again, it'll be too soon. If I ever hear the term unprecedented times, but we are definitely living in those times. I've never seen a year like this, and I know you haven't either, in pastoring, in trying to live for the Lord and do the best that we can do and making decisions. It's been such an unusual time, and no one really knows what to choose or how to go or what to do because we've never been this way before. And so it can be discouraging when we get in the middle of a storm that overwhelms our senses and overwhelms all of our faith that we've had in the past. And when we get in the middle of circumstances that we have not seen before and situations that we have not dealt with before, it is so easy for us to be paralyzed with fear and paralyzed with doubt and be overcome by the lightning and the thunder and the storm rolling and the waves crashing into our little ships and trying to destroy us. And we get in the middle of these circumstances and we are overwhelmed. And many times, at least in my case, so many times when I am overwhelmed with things, I tend to forget what God has already done. And I'm sure some of you have done that as well. You get in the middle of a financial crisis. You get in the middle of a health crisis. And you forget that God has brought you through those things before. And he's done amazing things before. And you forget the fact that nothing is impossible with him. And there is no circumstance that he cannot handle. And we forget, though. And so I say today, you're among a great cloud of witnesses that have been paralyzed with fear before, and I'm guilty just like you are. But thankfully, when we look in Scripture, we're not alone. In Mark 6 and 46, a very familiar passage of Scripture to us, it says, "And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land, and he saw them toiling and rowing, and for the wind was contrary unto them, about the fourth watch of the night. And he cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out, for they all saw him and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them and saith to them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went up unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered." Now, many times when we read that passage of Scripture and we preach on that powerful story of him walking on the water and stepping on the bow of the ship and everything begins to calm down and change, we don't read the very next verse. But verse 52 of this same chapter says, "And they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." And so if you rewind this story in this chapter, it won't take you long until you get to the point where Jesus fed the 5,000 plus women and children. It won't be long until you start reading about him asking, does anyone have any food? And the disciples are just incredulous and saying, well,
We don't have anything. We don't have the money to go buy. And even if we did, it would take a long time to get to the town and get back. And there's no way to do it. And then all of a sudden, one of the disciples says, well, there is a boy here. And he has five loaves and two fish. But what is so few among so many? And Jesus said, bring it to me. And he began to pray and bless it. And he broke it. Now, not only did he break it, but he handed it to these very disciples that are on the ship thinking that they're going to go down. And so they take the fish, they take the loaves after he is blessed and broken it, and then they began to distribute it out. And so there is miracles happening in their very hands. And when they're all said and done and everybody's laying back on the grass with their stomachs full, and they pick up 12 extra baskets, so the five loaves and the two fish turn into a feast for everybody, and they have enough leftovers to fill up 12 baskets, right? And so then you see Jesus said, oh, why don't you go on over to the other side? I'll be over there in a little while. And so they get on the ship, and so it is logical to assume, and this is just the PKS version, the Paul Kevin Shindall version. And so, but it's logical to assume that somewhere on their little ship, they had kept at least one basket for future reference, because we Pentecostals will eventually get hungry again. And it's also logical to assume that in their beards there was crumbs from the bread. And when they reached up to wipe their mouth, they could still smell the fish on their hands. And so now they get out in the middle of the sea, and the winds become contrary to them. And the situation looks bleak. And these men, that some of them were actually fishermen, they had been on this sea many times before. And so it must have been pretty bad. But they got out there in the middle and they thought they were going to die. And the Bible points out very clearly that once Jesus got in there and he ceased the winds and the waves and the struggle, and the Bible says they forgot not, or they considered not the miracle of the loaves and the fish. And that's why he said to them, why have you so little faith? And so what he is trying to get across to them is, hey, don't you think that if I can take five loaves and two fish and I can break them and I can feed 5,000 plus women and children, that I can handle a little storm, that I can handle a little struggle, that I can handle some trouble today? Don't you think I can handle it? Amen. And so here they are. They finally realize who he is. They are, the Bible says they are sore amazed. They are shocked that not only can he feed 5,000 plus women and children, but he has power over the wind and the waves. Now, we have the powerful insight of hindsight. And so many times we look back at these men of faith or these men of doubt in the scripture and we think, well, they should have known. And of course, they should have remembered. But guess what? So should I. And so should you. These are the same disciples that had just witnessed this great miracle of feeding the 5,000. And no doubt, at least one of them still had the breadcrumbs in his beard and the smell of fish on his hands. It's logical to believe that on that ship they had 12, that one of the 12 baskets of fragments, and they should have remembered. But oh, just like we, when we get in the middle of a circumstance and the banker calls and the bill collector calls and the doctor calls. Sometimes we are paralyzed and we think, oh my, this is going to be the end. I'm never going to make it out of here. I'm never going to get beyond this point. But oh, I want you to know, they should have remembered, and so should we, because you and I are here today because there's some old triumphs in our life that we can remember. Amen. Hallelujah. We cannot allow the storms of life and the times that we live in to steal our memories of God's miraculous deliverance. Oh, we've got to remind ourselves. We need to remind our enemy, and we need to remind God. Hey, I want you to know that I still remember when you healed my body before. I want you to know I remember when you supplied the financial need before. I want you to know that I still remember when you met me in a little church in Mesquite, Texas, when I was 11 years old, and you filled me with the power of the Holy Ghost. Oh, I still remember when I thought I wasn't going to make it, but I did, because you came in and you made a way. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Somebody needs to pull out some old triumphs for some new troubles. You need to remind yourself, and you need to remind God. Hey, I want you to know, I remember. I remember that you did it before. And I believe if you did it before, you will do it again. Amen. You may be seated. I'll tell you, sometimes there's scriptures that we say so often that they lose their power to us, their significance to us. We say things over and over and over, and we repeat them, and they almost become our biblical cliches. And one of those is found in Hebrews 13 and 8. And sometimes we lose the significance of it because of our repeated rendition of it. But it is one of the most powerful declarations in the Bible. And I say today that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. And so could I just build your faith? The Bible says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so I just believe, I'm simple enough to believe today that before you leave this house in just a few minutes, that you're going to have more faith than you had when you came through the door. Oh, hallelujah. Let me just remind you that he's still the same God that walked on the water. He is still the same God that broke the fish and the loaves and fed the 5,000. He is still the same God that healed the sick, that opened blinded eyes, that made the deaf to hear and the dumb to talk. He is still the same God that made the lame to walk. He is still the same God that said, Lazarus, come forth, and he came forth. He is still the same God that touched the leper. Oh, come on now. We don't need to walk in fear. We can be careful, because faith and wisdom are not mutually exclusive. But oh, I'm not going to walk in fear. Amen. You can have faith and wisdom at the same time, and that's fine. But oh, I'm not going to be paralyzed with fear. He is still the same God that touched people, that ministered to people, that transformed people's lives. Oh, can we clap our hands on the Lord? Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. And so here we are. We have our story today, that David came back to his camp and his men were with him. And while they were gone fighting another battle, the enemy came in and swept down and took their wives and their sons, their daughters, and all of their possessions. And they did not know where they had gone or which way or how long they had been gone. And the men rose up against David, and they began to murmur, and they talked of stoning him. And so David went and got alone, and he called for the ephod, and he put it over his head, and he began to inquire of the Lord. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself. And so I just feel like David wanted God to know that I do remember. God, I remember that when I was just a little shepherd boy on the backside of nowhere, and I found this this strange process that if I would begin to worship you, that you would meet me right where I was. And when I played my little harp and I made up my little songs about you, that somewhere on the backside of nowhere, you would come down and touch my heart and my mind. I remember that. I also remember feeling the anointing come upon me when the bear came into the flock and took one of the little sheep, and something rose up within me, and I ran after the bear, and the strength of God flowed through me, and I took that bear and I brought the lamb back safe. I remember when I was out there and the lion came, and a similar story, I ran after him and I ripped his beard and I took the lamb out of his mouth. I remember when I was a little boy and I just took some cheese and bread to my brothers, and as I got off of my wagon, I heard a great voice come down over the valley, and I heard him begin to speak evil things against your people and against you, and Goliath was his name, and I said, is there not a cause? And I remember, Lord, how I felt your power as I ran to that giant with just a sling and five smooth stones. I remember how I twirled that thing in the air, and in your name, I let that one stone go, and you guided it straight to the forehead of that giant, and that giant fell, and I grabbed his sword, and I cut off his head. I remember that. Lord, I want you to know that I remember when Samuel came to my house, and I was out in the field taking care of the sheep, and I heard the story afterwards how he went down the line of my older brothers one after the other, and you said, no, that's not him. Don't look on the outside. I look on the inside. Now there's, and you got down to the end of the line, and there was none other, and he turned to Jesse, my daddy, and he said, is there not another? And he said, oh, there's one more, but he's just a young boy. He's just ruddy in complexion. He's just outside on the backside of the hill watching the sheep. And when I came into the house, Samuel's face lit up because he had heard the voice of God, and he began to pour that anointing oil over my head and whispered these strange words, one day you're going to be king. And so he reminded himself that, hey, I know God is on my side. And so the Bible says that God spoke to David as he encouraged himself. He said, all right, you go ahead and pursue them, and you're not going to lose one thing. I'm going to be with you. You are going to recover all. And so there are times in our lives that we come into the middle of a storm that we cannot handle on our own. There are times that we come up against an immovable object. We come against a summit that we cannot rise above. We come against an enemy that we have no power to defeat within ourselves. And we need us to steel ourselves and get alone this morning and say, oh God, I want you to know, I remember. I remember when you filled me with the Holy Ghost. And I remember when I went down in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name. I remember when you called me into this thing. I remember. I want you to know, God, I want you to know that I know that you didn't call me to be defeated. You didn't save me to be destroyed. You didn't bring me in this thing for me to go out and lose everything. But, oh, I want you to know, God, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if you did it before, you will do it again. Oh, come on. in unprecedented times, in the battle of the new normal, could we just pull out an old triumph and say, hey, God, I want you to know I remember. I remember when you provided for me before. I remember when you healed me before. I remember. Amen. And so he finds himself without a sword, without a weapon. And he asked Elimelech, hey, is there something around here? I got out of my house. I had to run. I had to flee from my life. And now I don't have anything. Is there something here? And he says, well, I do have one thing. I have one thing. And it's the sword of Goliath. It's an old triumph for some new troubles. And I don't know about you, but I like the little details of Scripture. I like that it says that it was wrapped up in an ephod. This prayer piece of clothing, this article that they would use for their times of prayer. And so his old triumphs was wrapped up in a time of dedication and prayer and devotion. And so here we are on this Sunday morning in the middle of troubling times. And I will say there probably are more troubling times to come, but that's all right. That's all right, because I still have some old triumphs in the closet that I can pull out and remind myself and remind God and remind my enemy that, hey, this may feel like unprecedented times, but oh, I want you to know God has brought me through before. The Bible says in 1 Chronicles 16 and 8, it says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, yet talk ye of his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. And then verse 12 says, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Amen. Oh, could we just build a memorial of all the old things that he has done for us? The Bible says in Joshua 4 and 3, and commanded ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said to them, pass over before the ark of your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And so here, the children of Israel and Joshua are going into the promised land finally, and they're going to defeat Jericho as they walk around the walls 6 days, and then the seventh day, 7 times. But before they do that, they got to get across the Jordan. And so Joshua says, I want one man from every tribe. I want you to pick up one of these stones, and I want you to carry it on your shoulders across to the other side, and I want you to set it up for a memorial. You see, these stones look different than the ones around them, Brother McCoy. They were smooth because the river had been passing over them for generations and generations. And so now, when the children would come with their grandfathers and their fathers down to the Jordan, and they see these odd, smooth stones stacked up in a very, very unusual way, they will say, what do these mean? what do these mean? And oh, I could see the father and the grandfather's face light up. Oh, let me tell you, those stones were not on the side, but you see that big muddy river right out there. They were down in the bottom of that, and our fathers picked them up and carried them across on dry land and put them up here for a memorial, because God held up the river where the river wouldn't flow so the children of Israel could come by. And I want you to know that if God could do it then, he can do it now. And then the story goes on, and you remember that big city we used to call Jericho. Now it's just rubbles. Now it's just a little hole in the road. But oh, I want you to know that God did that too. And oh, here we are. Today we have some memorials. We have some memorials of healing. If you've ever been healed in this house, could you lift your hand? Oh, come on. We have such a great cloud of witnesses. Have you ever had a financial need provided miraculously? Look at this. Oh, I'm telling you. Has anyone in this house ever been delivered from addiction? Look at that. Come on. Oh, hallelujah. I'm telling you, we have some memorials built up. What meaneth these stones? Why are you so excited about this message? Why are you talking about that? Oh, because I want you to know I've got some old triumphs for some new troubles, and God is still on the throne. And so we need to remember, and we need to rehearse, and we need to react. We need to remember his past provision, his past miracles, his past blessings. We need to remember every time he has manifested himself in our life in such a powerful way. We need to be like David and encourage ourselves in the Lord and say, oh Lord, I remember you brought me out before. We need to rehearse them in our own mind, and we need to rehearse them with our mouth. There is power in the spoken word. We need to talk to people and say, hey, I want you to know that I may be going through such and such, but oh, one time I want you to know that I remember that God brought me out. I also had a family member that God brought them out, and so I want you and I to agree today that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he did it then, he can do it now. Woo! Oh, yeah, yeah. So could we just remember our promises and rehearse them in our mind and with our mouth? Could we remind ourselves that we still remember? And could we remind God that we still remember? Because we have promises. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. 2 Peter 1:4, whereby we are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men shall count slackness. If he said it, he must accomplish it. He cannot lie. He cannot fail. He cannot falter. He cannot back away from his promises. And so I'd say I was just kidding. But no, he is always true to his word. His word never returns void. I always tell our church this. I say, if I make you a promise, I have to come back and fulfill it. If I tell you I'm going to give you $5 after church, I've got to actually come to you after church and give you $5. Because I'm finite. And my word is my bond, but it is not creative. God's word is more than just a promise. Because when God gives you the promise, he sets the answer somewhere out there on a timeline. Because when he said, let there be, there was. When he spoke things, he spoke them into existence.
And so when he gives you a promise, his word never returns void, because he doesn't even have to come back and perform what he said, because his word is him. His word is the personification of who he is. It is creative. And so when he speaks things into existence, when he gives you a promise, when he gives you a calling, you may not be there yet, but it's already there waiting on you. All you have to do is keep walking. All you have to do is keep praying. All you have to do is keep moving forward. His promise is always going to be fulfilled. And so therefore, since we have old triumphs for new troubles, since we remember our promises are in him, yea, and in him, amen. Since we understand that the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, and since we realize that he has promised us that we are going to be victorious, could we not only remember, could we not only rehearse it, but oh, today I want you to know, Harvest Ministries, we need to begin to react on our promises. We need to act tomorrow and today like we understand that God is still on the throne. You know, there is not one circumstance that overwhelms him. There, 2020, as surprised as you and I have been, I tell you today, he has not been surprised by anything. Not one day this year has he been overwhelmed. Not one day this year has he thought, oh, what am I going to do? Not one day has he thought, well, hey, I may lose this battle. No, he's still on the throne. He's still sovereign. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. To the increase of his government, there shall be no end. There is nothing that scares him. He does not have to break a sweat. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get worried. He doesn't struggle like we struggle. And so this morning, why don't we react like our Father is on our side? Oh, why don't we row our little ship through the storm like we know Jesus is on the bow? Oh, I want you to know we've got some old triumphs for some new troubles today. Hallelujah. We have the power. We have the anointing. We have the commission. It's time to remember, rehearse, and react. It is time for us to realize that God has done it before and he will do it again. Oh, if the musicians would come and we could stand all across this place. Hallelujah. Somewhere in our lives we need to go back in an old closet of memories. And we need to pull out some old victories. And we need to dust them off. Shake them out. And we need to bring them back to the face of our new trouble. Say, hey, devil, look here. Oh, you had me for a moment. My heart was paralyzed with fear for a moment. I was struggling there. I thought I was gonna lose. I thought I was gonna miss out. I thought I was going to be overcome. I thought I was going to go down in the raging sea and I was going to be destroyed. I thought it was going to be that way. But oh, enemy, oh, storm, oh, trouble, I remember. I've been in something like this before. I've been through struggles that I didn't know the answer to before. My heart has been overwhelmed before. And so I know today there are many different situations here. And that's just the way it is in every congregation. Some of you have more faith today than others. Some of you are doing well and some of you are struggling. But could I be a voice this morning? The Bible says, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. There's somebody in this house that you are overwhelmed. You have been so stressed this week that you have not been able to sleep. You have been so stressed that you have thought to yourself, I wonder how in the world I'm going to survive. And so today, this message, this simple message from this little preacher from Texas is reaching out and taking your hand in faith and say, hey, I know you're overwhelmed. I've been there. I've been overwhelmed too. I've doubted too. But let me take your hand. And this morning, could I lead you to the rock that never changes? He is the immovable. He is the irresistible. He is the unchangeable. The Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but it also says there is no shadow of turning in him. He is always sufficient. He is the God of our time, but he's more than the God of our times. He is the God of eternity. He is more than just the God of your circumstance, but he's the God of all circumstance. And every adverse thing that comes your way, his transformative, creative power changes the evil that is meant to destroy you. It changes it for good. And so here we are on September 20th, 2020, of the craziest year of our lifetime. But God is still the same God that stepped out in the middle of nothing and said, let there be. He's still the same God that formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed life into his nostrils. He's the same God that called Abraham from nothing to everything. He's still the same God that made an ark to float. Save Noah and his family. He's still the same God that brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and across the wilderness and ultimately into the promised land. He's still the same. So could I just say, believe again, pray again, witness again, prophesy again, step out of your boat again. Because he's still the same. Could we lift up our hands right where we are? And more than our hands, could we lift up some old triumphs? Could we feed our faith today from the table of yesterday's victories? Oh, Jesus, I remember when my heart is overwhelmed. I remember. When I think it's all over, I remember. When I think there's no way out, I remember. Oh, that's it. Could we just let the Holy Ghost flow through us? Hallelujah. Oh, that's it right now. Just let it roll through this place. Right where you are, the Lord is not a respecter of persons, and he is not a respecter of places. You don't have to come to the altar today. You could stay right where you are, and God will meet you there. Be encouraged today. Be encouraged today. Hallelujah. Old triumphs for new troubles. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.